This is the Faherty Podcast presented by Farmers Insurance.
Thank you. Yes, my usual sea of indifferent people with horrible standards. My people, thank you. Thank you. In October of 1993, I was 35 years old and a year removed from what would be my final professional win in Spain. Somehow, a few months later, I managed to squeak through PGA Tour school and earned a spot on the Big Boy Tour, where my best result was a runner-up finish at the 94 New England Classic, which was known at the time as the Fifth Major. But enough about me. October of 1993 was decidedly more special for Stéphane and Ping Yi Chauffele as they welcomed their second son, Alexander Victor, in San Diego, California. In the 25 years since, Xander, as he would come to be known, has built a reputation as a fierce competitor, unafraid to take on the titans of the game and the critics alike. When I sat down with him at his home club, I wanted to know more about the man who's now making waves on the pro circuit, much bigger than those crashing against the shore just down the street.
This is Faherty, Xander Schauffele, segment one.
Finally, you find a woman who can go downhill faster than you can.
Xander, first of all, clear this up for me. As broadcasters, we have this heated debate. You know, how the hell do you pronounce that? You know, is it Schoffel, Schoffle, Schoffle?
I've sort of ruined it for everyone. I've managed to give two names or two pronunciations of my last name without really realizing it. It's Schoffle is the easy version when I see a starter panicking.
Yes.
And if someone has a little bit of German heritage, it's Schoffle.
Schaufle.
Yeah, a little bit of, get some phlegm in the throat.
You got to get a little, yeah. You held off a bunch of veteran players for your first win at the Greenbrier. How did you feel about yourself immediately after that?
I was in scoring.
Yeah.
And I forgot to sign my card. I think Montana or Johnny was in there, you know. Hey, yeah. Son, you might want to sign this card. I was sitting there shaking and I go out on the terrace and I can barely see the green and right after I sign my card, I go out and Robert Streb misses his chip and everyone starts hugging me and I'm sort of looking around like, holy smokes, like, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not in a playoff. So It was such a surreal moment. And, you know, unfortunately, my parents weren't there, but I had, you know, Austin, my agent there, and Dave and Brian were there, the first people, you know, that I was with to congratulate me.
Later in the year, people probably remember you winning the Tour Championship, but they may not remember that you played the last six holes of the BMW Championship in 6-under just to get into the Tour Championship. That was kind of a crazy stretch.
I was way behind the eight ball, and Austin and I sort of looked at each other, and we said, you know, we have absolutely nothing to lose. Like, why are we playing scared golf? We decided to play a little more aggressive. I sort of flipped the switch in my head to not be a pansy anymore. Managed to go 6-under in the last six, and it was a really cool experience.
So you get into the Tour Championship. Was there any indicator early that week, you know, that you might be holding the iron?
No. I was so exhausted from the BMW and trying to... I hit, you know, when you hit a goal, you're so relieved and so relaxed. I show up to the Tour Championship, there's no one there. You know, there's 30 guys. Mm-hmm. Trying to play on this massive golf course. I was looking around, I'm like, this is pretty chill. I was, in all honesty, I was just happy to be there. I wasn't this rookie walking in, like, I'm gonna win this thing.
Please welcome to the first tee from San Diego, California, Xander Schauffele.
But Xander did just that. The then 23-year-old had been quickly gaining a reputation on tour as being an incredibly clutch player during the season.
Oh, how about that?
For most of the morning, I don't think anybody was really paying attention to this young man. And then all of a sudden, Xander Schauffele has got the lead.
And that Sunday, Xander only enhanced his stature after erasing a two-shot deficit in the final round at East Lake to earn his second victory of the year.
Xander Schauffele goes on to win the Tour Championship. That is how you cap off an incredible season.
At what point on Sunday did you feel like you had a shot at it?
Coming down the stretch, I sort of kept my eyes away from leaderboards until I couldn't anymore, until I sort of saw that I was right in the mix. Started to feel the blood flowing a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think on hole 11, there's a nice, massive leaderboard to the right of the green.
Couldn't miss that one?
I just couldn't. I couldn't not stare at it. I was just sitting there on the putting green trying to look at anything but it. And I just, you know, I saw my name come up and it said like T1. And I was like, oh, smokes. This is actually happening.
The PGA Tour Rookie of the Year. You know, here are some past winners. Spieth, Els, Fowler, Tiger. How much does that kind of recognition mean to you, knowing that you've, you know, it's your peers?
It's the biggest accomplishment for a rookie.
Yeah.
It truly is. And the fact that your peers vote you in, it's something special.
Hey, mom, dad, I made it. Is that the feeling?
Yeah, we had, you know, a few hugs and tears after my first year, to be completely honest. It was a really special moment for not just me, but my whole family.
Xander, congratulations. Your dad has been so instrumental in your growth as a player and a person here in person to see. He was not at the Greenbrier to watch your breakthrough PGA Tour victory. What does it mean to have him here, and what has he meant to your career?
I'm sure he's crying somewhere in the background, but I'm so happy he's able to be here and I can share it with him.
We had a daddy caddy for a while. How did that...
I would never phrase it like that, but I was Monday qualifying. We're on the 12th or 13th hole. I have a meltdown, I'll admit it. I was so nervous to make the cut. I think the cut was 3 under and I was at 2 under, but we have, you know, some par fives ahead of us and some easy holes, you know, something that any pro should just sort of walk through. I ended up making a double bogey. My dad told me to do one thing, I did the opposite, and I made a double bogey, and I got on him in the past about sort of his behavior on the course, and he was just sitting there. Anyone who knows my dad, he's a very expressive person that likes to talk, and he was so quiet. So I knew something was wrong. So I started approaching him and pressing on him a little bit more, and I was like, what's going on, you know? He's like, nothing. We'll keep going. I'm like, I saw you shaking your head. He goes, I wasn't shaking my head.
This is so a classic father-son
typical
moment.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I kept pushing him and pushing him, and finally he goes, you're just an idiot. You're an idiot. Like, you shouldn't have made a double, and you made a double, and you're an idiot. I proceeded to ship my drive about 50 yards right on the next hole. And me and him were going back and forth like I was 13 years old, all the way to my ball. And, you know, he's always been good to me. On green grass, I'm the boss. And, you know, he's my dad off, so I'm supposed to be respectful of him.
Right.
Which I'm still working on now. But, you know, we were going back and forth. And it was basically a free-for-all. We're swinging for the fence. And finally I go, well, you just got yourself fired, so have fun with that one. And I felt like, you know, I stuck it to him. So that was the last day he ever caddied for me, which is probably a good thing.
Golf is hard. Unfortunately, there's no chance of it stopping. But in just a little blip of time on tour, Xander Schauffele has made it look rather elementary. Right, my dear Bubba Watson? In addition to his current streak of 3 straight top tens at the U.S. Open, Xander racked up a second-place finish at the 2018 Open.
And that's going to make it official. Francesco Molinari has won the 147th Open.
And came up just one shot short of a green jacket in 2019. While he hasn't hoisted major hardware as of yet, Xander's been sure as hell close enough to smell the polish on the trophies.
Another round. Can you believe it? He just doesn't go away.
You're halfway to the Louis Oosthuizen almost Grand Slam. You were second in Carnoustie and tied for second at the Masters. Go with Carnoustie first. What do you take away from that week?
That's not a very nice list to be a part of.
Well,
sorry, Louis. Yeah, it proved to me that I can win. I think anytime you come in second, you have a good chance of winning, especially, you know, Francesco played incredibly well and won by 2. But it just proved to myself that I can play overseas and that I'm capable of winning an Open championship.
Well, the guy who beat everyone that week, obviously, was Francesco Molinari. And when he gets it going, you know, it's almost boring.
Molinari just continues the solid play. He's had nothing but pars today for 12 holes. Can he make 13 in a row?
Tremendous performance. Just really, really strong.
Francesco Molinari, the 35-year-old Italian, sits atop the leaderboard.
He's just so funny.
Yeah.
You know, I think if people get to know him, they'll know that he has a good sense of humor. And but he does, you know, he speaks monotone and
yeah. To shoot 600 par yesterday was massive, and today was, yeah, incredible to go bogey free on a course like this.
It was so exciting. Sorry, Fran.
Well, fast forward to the first major of 2019. You come into just your second Masters. What did you learn that you aim to put into effect in the second one?
I learned a lot from the first one. Mm-hmm. I played the weekend of the first one, which I thought was really cool. I was so far away from the show. I was making the turn when I heard all the roars on one or two. And so I looked back and I was like, oh, that must be fun.
Yeah.
But I learned, you know, I tried to take as much information as possible because I knew my game should suit Augusta and I should be able to play good golf there. And so coming in to the second year, I just sort of learned how to block out a lot of the noise. There's so much going on property. And this year I felt like I was more professional and handled my business well and gave myself a good chance.
Well, the third round, they're battling rain all day, and you had an interesting wait with a few guys, didn't you? Waiting out the storm. Give us the PG-13 version of what happened.
There's only a rated R version of it.
Yeah.
Now, Tiger just hit a shot to 12 feet on number 5. We go to that little halfway house on 13. It's me, Gary, Tommy, our caddies, and then Joe and Tiger walk over. He's eating, you know, this... Some sort of sandwich. He looks at me and looks me straight in the eye. Says, "F you." So I stare at him. I kind of raise my eyebrows. I look at him, but then I get all serious again. Keep staring at him until he kind of cracks his smile, and I go, "Love you too," is what I said. And then he just started laughing. But it was so cool to see him, how relaxed he was, mm-hmm. and just you know, willing to communicate. You know, and 12 years ago, I feel like he would have sat there and not talked to, I'd be scared to talk to him 12 years ago, you know, but now he's this family man, and it was just cool to walk up to him, and you know, he just told me to F off. I was like, all right, I guess I'll just go stand out in the rain by myself.
Yeah, you go into 15, you know, tied for the lead. Talk us through 15 and 16.
Well, I made a bogey the day before, and that's just not...
It feels terrible making a bogey on either of those par fives.
Major champions don't bogey 15.
Yeah.
And they also don't par it on Sunday, which is what I did, and that's why I didn't win. So I wasn't clutch. I hit it out in the trees on the right and, you know, made a par. I had to actually make, like, a sketchy five-footer for par. Mm-hmm. But I was very nervous, and I felt like I hit okay shots. I didn't give myself chances. That's why people ask, you know, how I felt about my performance. And looking back on it, you know, I ended up making like a 12-footer on the last hole to tie, but you want to go out with a bang, you want to go out with opportunities, which I didn't give myself. So I was pleased, you know, to make a double sandy par on 18 and sort of weasel my way around the last couple holes while everyone else was sort of giving it a good shot. So, you know, looking back on it, I'd like to be a little more engaged in the situation instead of being a little scared, I guess.
You say you have a short memory, but was there a moment where you think to yourself, I was right there?
Right after I birdied 14.
Yeah.
You know, that's when I said in my head. I hit it out in the right trees. It's not that the moment was too big. I didn't focus enough. I was sort of thinking about how I'm leading the 115. Like, cool kid, you're leading the Masters. You know, that's literally what I was thinking. Ship out in the trees right. And I was like, I wanted to punch myself in the face.
Yeah.
Walking to my ball. I was like, you idiot. Like, what are you, 6 years old? You know what I mean? That's not supposed to be cool. You know, you're a professional. You're supposed to, this is what you're supposed to do. But I guess I sort of was a six-year-old kid at that moment.
What are you driving at the minute?
I drive a Toyota Camry. I got it when I was on the web.com. I didn't have much money, and I needed a car that worked. So I went in, and I just bought it out for, I don't know, it was like 13 grand to buy it all out, and I just decided to do it. My girlfriend, I bought her. She has a Tesla.
You know. So you bought your girlfriend a Tesla, but
yeah,
you're still in the
Camry.
Yeah,
you know, I figured do something a little nice for the environment. And the Toyota is just it's a fresh reminder that, you know, everything can be taken away pretty quickly and mm-hmm. never take anything for granted, I think. So, you know, every time I step in it, you know, people laugh at me, but I don't really care. You know, maybe
it's very cool.
Maybe when I'm older, I'll get a nicer car when it's suiting.
Yeah. Yep, thanks. In this world, nothing is certain except death, taxes, and for most normal players looking to make it to the top tier of golf, the merciless grind of minor league golf. One part unpaid internship and one part necessary evil. The case was no different for Xander Schauffele, who spent his first full pro season on the Corn Ferry Tour in 2016, where he would finish 26th on the regular season money list, missing his PGA Tour card by less than $1,000. Come on, man. X-Man bounced back quickly, securing his card for a 2017 season via the Tour Finals. But no one gets to the big show without a few tales from their mini tour journey.
Outsiders to the game of golf don't really appreciate just how hard it is to get on the PGA Tour. Even, you know, with your, you know, it seems like really recent success, people forget that you had that year on the web.com tour. What did that teach you?
A lot. I think you go a step before that was Q School.
Mm-hmm.
Going through Q School was quite a process and quite an awakening for what the professional world is like. You know, you have to play against all kinds of players that have, you know, been on the PGA Tour, on the web.com tour, fallen off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're playing courses you don't know about. It's over a span of 3 months. So I feel like Q School is a very fresh awakening out of college.
Was there any point, you know, during your web.com experience, you know, you thought, well, you know, oh man, I'm struggling here?
Yeah, I think I made about 30 grand. So expenses all paying for my caddy full time.
Yeah.
For him to travel with me everywhere. I was very much in the hole.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was bad. I was in bad shape. You know, we had McDonald's was our MC Hammer party. You know, that's where we'd sit in our rental car and sort of have our think tank of what we need to do to be better. And so there was about 7 or 8 weeks in a row where I think I missed every cut or made one, something of that nature. And I sort of hit an effort point in my short career there on the web.com. I had a friend, Brian Campbell, I think he had conditional status, but he played sort of in 3 or 4 tournaments, he racked up 150 grand. And I was sitting there, you know, at 30 grand or something, just looking up on the leader on the, you mm-hmm. know, the money list. And I was like, holy smokes. You know, this guy had no status, shows up, just absolutely crushes it. So I was like, I'm gonna hang out with this guy. So we started playing practice rounds every week. I started picking his brain, you know, surround yourself with success. I learned that at a young age. And he sort of helped me, you know, believe in myself, and just playing with him sort of helped me just realize, you know, that I can do this.
Yeah, well, you definitely realized something, because you went from web.com tour player to, you know, to being competitive in majors to PGA Tour winner. What was it that sort of set that off? It happened real quick.
Just doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how else to really put it. I sort of had so much failure, and then had this quick transition and turnaround. You know, I remember the web.com is the last time I was really upset. You know, one friend told me, you know, after 7 or 8 tournaments where I missed the cut, I was so angry, and I just couldn't accept it. And, you know, I was rooming with Austin, and I was, you know, he was my employee, so I couldn't really show how upset I was.
Yeah.
So my friend told me, you know, trying to rip a hotel towel in half is a good way to get your anger out, and it'll really exhaust you. I never ripped a hotel towel in half,
It's a hard
thing to do. Maybe yeah. Brooks can do it or someone like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, probably.
I tried so hard, and after a few minutes, I got really tired, and after that, you know, I sort of realized I remembered back to watching all these guys on the big tour. You know, it's not about, you know, being pissed off all the time and panicking. And I sort of, you know, put all that aside and just focused a little bit harder and tried to play better.
Looking back, was it a positive thing? Feeling like, you know, that you may lose it all, or, you know, you may not have this?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's an important thing to go through. It helps you, you know.
Drives you forwards?
Absolutely. It sort of reminds you. It's a fresh reminder every time, you know, you're feeling too good about yourself to think back to, you know, when you almost had nothing. So, yeah, I try not to think back too often, but I do every once in a while.
More Faherty will continue after a few words from our sponsor. Faherty is brought to you by Farmers Insurance. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
All right, then. Now back to the show.
Okay, here's the pointless part of the show as rapid fire. Somebody start a clock. Toothbrush, old school or electric?
Electric.
One thing you can't travel without?
Golf clubs.
Good point. Yeah, who's the funniest guy on tour?
I'm about to go with, you know, I think Phil's taken the cake recently.
Yeah, he's been real good.
His bombs and his low-key roasts.
If the PGA Tour had a draft, where would you be picked?
Hopefully the first round.
Oh, I want definitely the first round, yeah. Game of Thrones or True Detective?
Game of Thrones.
Finish this thought. The Chargers leaving San Diego was?
Depressing.
Are you still a fan?
No.
Okay.
I mean, that's a bit harsh.
Yeah.
I'm not a bandwagon fan now that they're doing all right.
Wine, red or white?
Red.
Who's the third best golfer of all time?
Who's the first two? Well, just kidding.
That is actually a tough one.
Yeah, why would you ask that?
I don't know. I didn't. Somebody else wrote that.
Shoot, Arnold Palmer? Is that good?
So that's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, can't go wrong with that one.
One place that you haven't been that you have to visit?
France.
If you were going to get arrested, what would it be for? I wrote that one.
Streaking.
Streaking. What's your next car going to be? I mean, I know you drive a piece of crap Camry for some reason.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Probably a Porsche.
A Porsche? Which one, 911?
The new electric Porsche.
Well, the new electric one?
2020, 2021.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you better play well. Who'd be your celebrity hall pass?
I don't know. It's a good one. My celebrity hall pass.
Yeah.
Christian Bale.
What?
What do you mean? Just to hang out with?
No. No, no, not to hang out with.
My own hall pass.
Sort of hang in with, really?
Celebrity hall pass? Okay,
yeah.
Sorry. I thought you meant, like, this is like a clean show. Sorry.
Hey, you know, no, it's not.
Okay, my celebrity hall pass would have to be Adriana Lima.
All right.
Is that fair?
Yep, that is.
That was an easy one.
That's it. You know, you win nothing, as always. With so much to do and see in San Diego, we decided to ditch the golf course and head over to the picturesque Torrey Pines Glider Port. Tell me this, if somebody is from Frankfurt, but then they go and live in Hamburg, does that make them a Hamfurter? Here I got to know a bit more about Xander and dig a little deeper with his pop, Stefan. What do you do in your off time?
I like to just unwind. You know, I think the beach is such an easy, if you just look out over your shoulder, I mean, this is the easiest way. Torrey Pines Trail is sort of behind us. There's so many things you can do in San Diego to sort of unwind and get away from golf, yet still be outdoors.
When did you know that the boy was going to be great?
Talent was visible pretty early. You know, the rest is a story of getting lucky at golf, I guess.
What's a typical week like for you guys out there on the road? You know, you have a crew that you run with.
Yeah, a typical week. You know, I have my own addition to the circus of the PGA Tour. I've had my dad out a lot. He's my swing coach and friend, so it's nice to see a familiar face week to week. And my agent's there a lot, and I keep it kind of tight knit. I don't want to, you know, I don't need to talk to everyone. I look at the golf course as a work environment. I don't want to, you know, bring my working friends to dinner.
How important has your dad, Stefan, been, you know, to you throughout your career?
He's a special human.
Yes, he is.
He really is. He's worn a lot of hats. I like to sort of use that analogy. You know, he's been my father. He's been my mental coach. He's been my only swing coach. He's been a friend.
He's been a caddy?
That was the shortest career.
Briefly?
Briefly, yeah. He was a caddy for a few holes. But he's been, you know, just all those things I listed, he's done an incredible job, I feel like. And, you know, I'm more appreciative now of our friendship than I was when I was, you know, 14 or 15.
Is it true that you never saw your swing on video until you were 18?
Yeah, 17 or 18.
Yeah?
Yeah, all my friends knew when I was on the range and he was somewhere around property. I'd ask him to take a swing video and we'd all be looking around, looking for him. And they'd always chicken out because they didn't want to fear the wrath of my dad.
Yeah.
So
why did he not want you to see it?
He always told me, he goes, I'll take a video of your swing when it's perfect, and it's not perfect, kid, so we're not taking a video. That's sort of what he told me, and he just knew that I would sit there and nitpick at all the things I didn't like, so we just sort of steered away from taking videos.
Where did you get recruited coming out of high school?
I got recruited to a lot of schools, San Diego State, Long Beach State, Oregon, UCLA, Berkeley, USC.
Wow.
ended up going to Long Beach State. Everyone sort of looked at me with an upside down face. A big part of my development as a young man trying to play golf was me playing and competing
right.
on the team. So if I were to go to Berkeley or USC or Oregon or any of these top schools, UCLA, I would have probably been fighting with, you know, other freshmen to start. And if I went to Long Beach State, you know, we love the coach there,
yeah,
the facilities. Jamie Mulligan was up there too. So uh-huh. there was a lot of attraction to Long Beach State. They had the field, Virginia Country Club, and, you know, we knew I'd start and compete right off the get-go.
Well, you spent a little time there, but decided to come back here to San Diego State. What was behind that decision?
Well, the coach I agreed to sign for, he decided to leave after 3 months, which seemed like a heartbreaking thing at the,
right.
at the time, but I think it panned out okay.
Yeah, I think it did.
Yeah, so I decided to come back home. You know, mm-hmm. I had my dad as my swing coach, obviously. I have my putting coach, Derek Ueda, here in San Diego. My team, my trainer, Rana. So there's just everyone is in San Diego, and I just love San Diego as well. So it was an easy yeah. place to come home to.
It's hard not to love this place.
Yeah.
It's about sure. the only place in the United States that's okay in the summer.
That's true. The more I travel everywhere, the more I realize I really do love it here.
With a handful of wins in just a few years on the big stage, Xander has already managed to accomplish more on the PGA Tour than I ever did. Show off.
This is a fantasy going on right now for Shoffley. It's hard to describe just how far he's come in such a short time.
During his most recent win in Hawaii, Xander played lights out. He would tie the plantation course record at Kapalua with an 11 under par 62 on Sunday, needing every shot along the way to beat Gary Woodland by one and take home the heart.
That's making it happen. Wow. Are you kidding me? I'm feeling like
you've had a lot of impressive moments already, but I think one of the greatest was your Sunday finish in Hawaii, where your buddy Gary Woodland looked like he was going to run away with it, but, you know, not so fast. 62.
Won't be many better rounds played all year long from this point forward than what we just saw.
Yeah, sorry, Gary. I was feeling good, and you know, Austin and I were clicking. We're clicking all day, clicking all week. I mean, we're in Hawaii. You know, what I remember from that final round, I had the worst allergies. I had to get, you know, someone from the crew to get me some nasal spray. I was honestly dying. So I was so focused on trying not to have a bunch of slobber all over my face, and that making birdies and eagles were sort of secondary.
How was the conversation with Gary afterwards?
He sort of charged me a little
yeah.
bit. Of course, I don't know if I flinched or not. Inside, I did.
Yeah.
But he's an awesome guy, and he's definitely, you know, helped me and mentored me a little bit since I've been out on tour.
They had the U.S. Open here in 2008. You were, what, 14?
Something like that,
Something
yeah.
like that. What was it? I mean, did you go out there and watch Tiger?
I did. I watched him make his putt on 18 in that sort of arena-type feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very special moment for me as a young man.
I always thought it must have been a bummer to get your ass kicked by a one-legged man. I mean, you won that with a broken leg.
Tell Rocco that as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I did. Yeah. Did you learn anything about major championship golf that week, you know, being so close to it?
Never give up, obviously.
Mm.
You know, just you learn some from both sides. You know, Rocco was such an underdog, and he had such a great attitude, such a happy-go-lucky attitude.
Yeah.
Then you have Tiger, who was just doing what he always does, you know, stares everyone down and pulls off the crazy shots. So just being in that atmosphere, I think I didn't really learn more of what, you know, the players were doing, just more about how cool it was to be, you know, the entertainers in that environment.
At that age, was this what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I actually I graduated from college, and I think my first grade teacher brought, I don't even remember doing this, but my first grade teacher brought out the yearbook, you know, when I had no teeth and I was like 5 years old or 6 years old.
Yeah.
And it said that, you know, what do you want to be as a kid? You know, an astronaut, a painter, you know, dentist or anything. And I said, a pro golfer is what I wrote. So I guess I've been wanting to do this since I was five.
The U.S. Open comes back here in 2021. Have you got that one circled on your calendar already?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. You must know Torrey Pines like the back of your hand.
I do. It was my home course in high school. I got to leave school early to play my nine holes at 3 p.m. against other high school players, and it was something that I looked forward to every day.
What sort of a student were you?
A golfer.
What was plan B for you?
Oh, I always joked with my counselor, bless her soul, she was so good to me.
Yeah?
I told her I was going to be a janitor if I didn't succeed at golf.
Yeah.
You know, I walked in there and she told me, or asked me what I want to do, and I told her, put me in the easiest classes with all the professors that you know, just in case you have to make a late phone call, because I'm going to be playing a lot of golf.
Yeah.
So once I got to school or came back to San Diego, I was very much, you know, all eggs in one basket.
Xander Schauffele is part of the high school class of 2011, which includes the likes of Justin Thomas, Daniel Berger, and Emiliano Grillo. It also includes Jordan Spieth, who co-stars in Xander's Mulligans in Life moment from the 2018 Open.
Gosh, it was brutal. Jordan and I were feeding off each other in horrible ways. We're trying to kick each other's asses, but we were behind. You know, I was making a six, he was making a seven. I made a double on the next hole, he made a bogey. It was just
horrible.
Horrible golf to watch. You know, the fans were so nice to still clap after I tapped in for double bogey, but it was just a good learning experience for my caddy and I.
Mulligans in Life are presented by Farmers Insurance. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
Ryder Cup last year, you did pretty much everything you could to get in the conversation, but you didn't get the call. How'd that feel? I mean, you haven't played in one yet.
Yeah, but it was whatever. I hate that word, whatever, actually. It was disappointing, but I just didn't do enough. You know, I played at Aronimink, and I was pushing hard for a win, and I knew if I would win, maybe I had a chance. But Jim called me right after, and I was like, you know, there's no hard feelings. Like, I'm not dumb. Tony hasn't finished outside the top four yet, so I was happy it was going to be him, if anyone else. I'm confident that I'll be on a team in no time.
Well, I mean, you're all but a lock for the President's Cup team. You know, a trip to Melbourne, is that something that you think about?
Yeah. I mean, for starters, I've always wanted to go to Australia, so it's sort of a kill two birds with one stone. Mm. But yeah, I'm anxious. I'm excited. I don't really know what team golf is like since I've never been on, you know, a Walker Cup or Ryder Cup or President's Cup. So it'll be cool that Tiger will be a playing captain.
Yeah.
I think I'm very much looking forward to that experience.
Well, I think you'll love the team experience. And, you know, when you play in the President's Cup, the Ryder Cup will become less of a whatever. you'll want to be on that side. But as luck would have it, you had a little revenge on Tony in China at the HSBC, beating him in a playoff.
But it's not close enough, and Xander Schauffele is the WGC HSBC champion.
It's a bummer that you always, you know, you beat a friend, but you know, I'm sure, like we both talked, and we're just like, oh, we're looking forward to doing it again.
Well, you went to Scripps Ranch High School. Now, Scripps is the home of the yearly spelling bee, right? So it's only right we do the spelling bee with the X-Men. Good luck.
Oh man.
Hank Lebioda.
Yeah. H-A-N-K, Hank.
Well, just go with the second name.
Lebioda. It's easy. L-E-B-I-O-D-A.
Correct. Matsuyama.
T-S-U-Y-A-M-A.
Excellent. Schneider Jans.
Ollie. Oh, boy. Schneider Jans. S-C-H-N-I-E-R-J-D-A-N-S. D-A-N-S?
D-E-R-J-A-N-S. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I knew that's what you were trying to say.
Close enough.
Okay, here's a beauty. Kiradek. Happy Barn Rat. I mean, you definitely
gosh.
Win if you get this one.
A-P-H-V-I-B-R, Barn, R-N, Rat, R-A-T.
That is exactly correct. I mean, I'm assuming that when you said barn that you needed to put an A in there, but yeah. All right, here's a good one. David Fegherty.
Oh, come on. Hang on. F-E-H-E-R-T-Y.
Jeez.
By the way, I should have just looked on your cards.
Yeah, you should have. Yeah, that's like a dead giveaway. Do you ever see yourself getting the itch and maybe moving to Florida or Texas or Arizona? You know, the whole state may not slide into the ocean at a moment's notice.
Yeah, of course. I have my team here, like I've said.
Right.
I'm so comfortable at home. And if I would move, I'd have to find a new team and a new home. And I'm very loyal to my team, and I don't want a new team. My heart is here in San Diego, and I've been playing really well, and there's definitely a lot to it, the fact that I'm living here.
You're at a point in your career where it's, you know, you're able to move around a little under the radar. You know, I imagine you don't get hit on that much, you know, by, you know, spectators.
I get a few. I think the Masters was, I kind of knew it would be, you know, everyone sort of watched the Masters, and my name was up there, and just everyone watched it because of Tiger. And so because of Tiger, people kind of know my name because it was right next to his. Like, oh, what is this weird souffle name? You know what I mean? So ever since the Masters, I'll go out now a few more times and I will get recognized, or just at a local burrito shop I go to, or, you know, going to the gym, or just sort of anything. I'll get stopped and my girlfriend will look at me sort of like, oh, you're not all that. That's what she tells me.
Yeah.
I was like, I know. It's not. I'm not.
You bought her a Tesla. She should be a little more respectful. What are you working on now to ensure the next time you have a chance to win a big one that you can get through it?
Obviously, all of us work on all kinds of stuff in our game, you know, small incremental increases in certain areas. But for me, I think I'm sort of a mental hiccup away from doing something sort of crazy. In my game, you know, it'll appear at certain times and it'll disappear at certain times. But, you know, we work on being as consistent as possible and trying to peak at the right time. You know, that's a phrase that's used a lot in our sport, in other sports, I guess. So I'm trying to learn how to peak at the right time, as well as being more aware of what I'm trying to do when I'm at a big tournament.
I know we're in California when my guest says mental hiccup instead of brain fart. Sander, thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It was a lot of fun. Hey.
I've learned many things about Xander Schauffele during our time together. He's humble, witty, and most of all, he may be one of the most level-headed kids on earth. I guess we have more in common than I thought. But in all honesty, this kid is kicking ass and taking names with no end in sight. At the ripe young age of 25, he's already knocked on the door at majors, which leaves no doubt in my mind that it's only a matter of time before we see the Schauffele name etched all over the record books. Whether or not it'll be spelled correctly is an entirely different question. Thanks for joining me, Faherty fans. You can find more of the Faherty podcast presented by Farmers Insurance on Faherty.com and your favorite podcast provider. Go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Art19, or Google Play. Search Faherty and subscribe. If you love the show, and why wouldn't you? Be sure to leave a rating, review, and tell your friends.